When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to betfredsports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mr. Lewis, thank you for coming in with your associates. I know this is hard to hear, but we need to make some serious decisions about your mother's health. Let's be honest, she is getting on in years.
Oh, snap. Okay, I see how it is. Well, your mama, so old, her last name is Osaurus.
No, Mr. Lewis, it wasn't an insult. I was just saying that your mother's condition is deteriorating because she's getting older.
Oh, see, that's cold, though. That's a cold one. Okay. Okay, I see how it is. Hey, yo mama, so old, in her history class, they just wrote down what they was doing.
Mr. Lewis, this isn't an insult contest. Not only is your mother elderly, but also her ability to walk is currently being affected by her weight.
See, okay, it just got real.
No, I'm not insulting her. I'm trying to tell you.
Mama is so fat, when she go to the movie theater, bitch sit next to everyone.
Listen to me, okay? Your mother needs to manage her weight or there could be some real problems.
Yo mama is so fat, she need a latitude and longitude number to find her old ass. Now who's the doctor?
I am the doctor, Mr. Lewis, I am. And it is my job to make sure that your mother is getting the care that she needs. We are talking about the woman who took care of you your whole life. The least you can do is take care of her in her old age and take this seriously.
I'm sorry.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast with your hosts, LC and Baco, putting the dumb in freedom since 2014.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, stop pretending that you've never been bad. You're never wrong and you've never been dirty. You're such a saint. That ain't the way we see you. Rulers with an iron hand. You change the lyrics and become Big Brother. This ain't Russia. You ain't my dad or mother. They never knew anyway. Cause I never walk away from what I know is right. But I'm gonna turn my back on you. Freedom! We're gonna ring the bell. Freedom to rock.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I am joined today, as always, with the American Baco. How are you, sir?
Oh, happy holidays, Loose Cannon. I'm feeling a little. I feel like I lost a few pounds the last couple days, so I'm feeling good for the most part. How about you?
I am feeling
jubilant,
euphoric, jubilant. Sure, that's a good word. Just like a weight of bullshittery has been taken off my shoulders. And whatever your thoughts are as a listener, I got to tell you this much. The next 4 years, we're going to hear words that are used properly and things like that. Complete sentences. You know, it doesn't matter what you think about all this as you're a listener. You're here to escape. But listen, we have the freedom to rock, the freedom to talk. I got to tell you, Baco, I just, you know.
We're rocking in the free world.
We really are. Good point. That was the last. That it's interesting how that's how the last episode ended. And then we went into this song, if you put them side by side, nice. Taking out the old, the excellent grunge sidecast that you've been doing. But yeah, just listen, as of this recording, we're recording the morning after that we have a new president. We've got Biden. And I got to tell you, if anybody's out there thinking, you know what? I wasn't a big fan of Biden. You know what? I don't think you really have to be. I think that if I had a list of people, if I was going to pick from a podcaster pool, I would pick any of the three sides of the coin hosts to be our next president. Mm-hmm. I would pick LaFonz.
I would actually vote for the side of a coin over
the third option. Just the actual side.
Yeah.
anything. I mean, you could just do a huge list of things. But, I mean, this is an excellent day for rock and roll and America. Can we just say that at least?
I know Sebastian Bach is happy.
Oh, good. That's how I gauge all my decision making.
Yeah, you know, I look forward to less news stories based around a tweet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's actually a good thing we don't do a political show because we just lost a lot of material if we did.
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
What about those comedians that kind of made their name over the last 4 years kind of riffing on our current president?
At one point, one of the poll workers pulled out a bald eagle and started choking it by shoving ballots down its throat. And the whole scene culminated with them burning ballots and what I can only assume is a satanic ritual.
But the thing is that I don't think that Joe Biden knows what Twitter is. So that's a good thing, too. You know, I mean, when you get these old white men into office.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I mean, last night I saw a speech that I didn't have to throw up. Afterwards, get sick. So it's just amazing how you know, people can read off of a card and not go sideways and talk crazy, and we're good to go. So I think it's right. I'm ready to rock. Flowers popped up last night in my backyard. I became more attractive looking in the mirror this morning. It was just it's a great day.
Well, every day I seem to think I look a little better than I did the day before, but...
Well, sure. That's how aging works for broadcasters. It should say to you out there, too, that we don't agree on anything, you and I, for the most part. So there you go.
That's funny, but it's not that accurate, but yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, they also say, you know, that basically, I'm sure you've seen some kind of tweet that Trump's had basically a 2020 year, like a lot of people have. He got COVID. He lost his job, and now he's getting evicted. But there's on the bright side, you got to realize he has a lot more time to spend with Ted Nugent, Kid Rock. I mean, his schedule is way open. So
yeah, we're
going to
find out
side.
How much those guys actually like Donald Trump pretty quick here, aren't we?
I think we
Donald,
are.
Donald,
I
mean, what are you doing here? Just came to hang out, guys.
I think we're good now. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you something, Luz. LC.
All right.
As yes. you're here for two. That's a big word. Yeah, here for two known. LC, have you ever had a futon in your life? You ever owned one?
Yeah, I've had one. Two phases of my life cycle.
I'd like to get your thoughts on a futon in general. Like, I just had to part with one in kind of a comedically... touching way. I don't know. This is a futon. Did you actually purchase your own futon, or was it just kind of bequeathed upon you? It seems like these things get kind of tossed around from person to person there.
You know, it's interesting you say that. The first one I did purchase, that was in college, and then the second one was kind of, it ended up with being with me because of a roommate situation.
Sure.
The second time. Yeah.
That's how I got mine. My roommate actually moved out to Colorado to live with my boy Wilson. Back in, shit, this would have been 2003, and I came home. He had a note with some last instructions. He a pile of money for his half of the bills for the rest of the month. Mm-hmm. And then I went down into our little family room, whatever you want to call it, and his futon was there. So apparently he left me his futon. The futon gets a bad rap, but for what it is, it's actually a fairly functional. It's cheap. They look okay for the most part, and you know they serve a purpose. You know. I think he specifically left that futon there because my buddy Shags fucked a chick on it, and he was all grossed out by it after that.
So he couldn't just wash it.
Okay. Yeah, well, there were sheets on it. I don't know what his big issue was. It wasn't like they raw dogged on top of the actual thing and just, you know, did a monster jizz blast or something. But he was.
Oh, I did not expect that term this morning. But go ahead.
He was never the same about that futon again. Now I moved shortly after he did to a smaller cottage in this little complex that I was living in, and I had had a waterbed a few months prior that I had to throw away for another tragically horrible situation. So the futon kind of became my bed. I actually had a bed, but it was left to me by my ex-girlfriend, and it was a mattress that sagged in the middle, so you just kind of rolled right down into the middle. So the futon became my go-to bed, and I put the bed in, so I had that as like my thing when Amy moved in, right? And then when we bought the house, the futon came with, and it was just it was one that one of the kids used for a bed until we got them one. And it's just kind of been something that's sit in this one room now for the last, I don't know, it's basically been unused for about a decade. It's sitting there, but it holds sheets and pillows and blankets and stuff. And one of our cats apparently likes to sleep there. Where I'm going with this is that, like, I've been talking for about 2 years of just getting rid of the thing, right? It's like, just throw the fucking thing away. So we have like a three large items a year that St. Paul will pick up for you. So I got the gumption.
Yes. Extra trash day.
Yeah, I got the motivation. I came home and I said, "Toots, I'm taking down the futon." So I tore the fucker apart, hauled her down the stairs, and but when I got to just the actual mattress part. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there was a cat that liked to sleep there. Anyway, this thing was, I mean, the layer of cat fur on this fucking thing, it's like, it was like grossly neglected for a decade. Like, this was, I had to take a shower after I took this thing out. It was just so disgusting. So the mattress is sitting out on the back porch here is all I'm getting at. And sure enough, I come back, you know, I get out of the shower, and the cat that slept there is just staring out the back window, staring at his futon that he no longer gets to sleep on. In my head, he's like sad, going meow, meow. But anyway, it was a big ordeal around here. You know what I mean? The futon that just wouldn't go away is now gone.
I'm very proud of you. I want to make sure I understand this though. Are you actually for the futon?
I think it's a decent second, like couch/spare bed. Or like you said, college, something like that.
No. I mean, when you brought up something you're going to bring a futon, all I could think about was just pure rage went through me, my entire body. Just the word futon is basically a trigger for me. And that's because futons are basically either a bed or couch that won't fully commit. It's terrible in both. It does a half-assed job either way. It's another level of, like, let's say that you have a couch that also turns into, you know, a spare bed, okay? Like a fold-out mattress. Now, first off, whoever designed those, I have an issue with too, because I'm pretty sure you could design a fold-out mattress that doesn't have a bar that fucking jabs you right in the goddamn back, right in the middle.
Or that doesn't sit at a slope so all the blood rushes to your head.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they can make it work, expand versus being, you know, the fact that they actually call it a mattress and it's like 2 inches thick and everything like that too. And who has ever visited a friend where you go into the guest room and you find out this is where you're going to sleep and it has to unfold? It's not a Murphy bed.
I was
going to
say, you're clearly more of a Murphy bed guy.
No, a Murphy bed is fully, it's either a wall or it's a fucking bed, okay? There's no in between, okay? So, but the fold-out couch is never comfortable. There's always like two or three of those goddamn wires
right,
slowly poking through. Somebody, I'll move past that. But that again.
But they're fun to move too, by the way.
Heavy as hell, all of those kind of things. Like it's like pure steel. It's you can't collapse it. So I'm gonna move past that. But the futon is even worse though, because the futon, first off, is again, it's Nobody wants it. When have you ever been at somebody's house and been like, oh, we're going to watch the game on this futon? This should be comfortable, right? Like this is definitely a well-loved piece of furniture. No, just like you.
Like the futon goes. I don't watch sports with people who sit down.
Also, it's really ridiculous because the futon's usually what, like 4 feet wide. So you're like snuggled right next. It's very uncomfortable.
It's like each other.
It's like a love. It's like a love cushion or whatever you call them. But no, it's basically something that was developed, I think, for kids to go to college because it's the same thing. It's like you buy it for $150. It's a shitty mattress. It's a shitty this, and it's the same thing. Like you just said that your buddy had relations with a lady on it. That's also like if you're a man or a woman. Let's say you go to a woman's place and you're like, yeah, let's do it on the futon. Who am I? Do you have no respect for me? You don't have a proper bed. This and the fact that you even welcomed your wife into your life and brought a futon into her life is disrespectful to her and to all females, period. So that's what I think about the futon.
It is amazing that after seeing the futon that we're still together, you know.
That's my point. And the fact that it was there, I gotta tell you, first off,
that was the first thing that changed when she moved in.
It was moved that you got a proper bed,
yeah.
And that futon went there. And that first off, at this point right now, your cats respect you. Since that has gone, you're. I know you recently, celebrated your anniversary. The fact that is out of your life, you're on a whole nother level of love, respect, togetherness. that futon is out. That was an anchor in your fucking life and your relationship, Baco. And that's all I have to say. You asked me if I had a few things to say about a futon. That's what I have to say. I am fired up for futons and for freedom.
There's a slogan. I want to levy a challenge at you right now. I want you to run for like something like the school board or some real rinky-dink thing, but run based only on no futons. Refuse to talk about anything else. It's like, well, what if I
actually work for like the zoning commission and there's a whole section that all they have to have is Murphy beds. That's the only thing allowed in certain like square miles for construction. I have to like retain the certain, like if there's certain things about you can't tear down or rebuild without using a certain architecture. Yep. That's the architecture that has to be.
You can't have futons.
No, but just Murphy beds.
Yeah, only Murphy beds. Yeah,
only
you zone a certain district of Denver as Murphy beds.
Things.
It's called the I don't know. I assume they name communities like they do in most larger cities, but that it'll be renamed Murphy bed or something like that. Or
yeah, I think that anytime I do a speech, the actual podium, I just unfold from the wall and I come out on the podium that way. Hello. You got to make an entrance, Baco.
You got my vote.
Okay, good. So one of the Cobras and Fire mascots, Sebastian Bach, recently made some headlines you wanted to talk about regarding Rob Halford, correct?
So Baz, he was talking about, the vocal exercises he did, and then he revealed that Rob Halford once told him that he never has to do vocal exercises of any any kind. Anyway, one of the hosts is a comedian who goes by Big J Okerson. He chimed in. Well, it was probably something gay he didn't want to tell you, and then he apparently threw in a British accent and threw in this gem. You got to goggle jizz, but I don't know how to tell you that, Sebastian. So Sebastian walked off, and I'm actually on his side on that. You know what I mean? I don't know the relationship or this guy, so maybe there's some context I'm missing. But that just seems like a joke that if we said it, we would cut it out.
well, it's also not that. It's just not clever.
Yeah, it really isn't that funny. But anyway,
basically, it's pretty much a joke we would do. It's just not about that specific thing.
There we go. yeah, if we did it, it would be funny.
Oh, is that what? No, maybe.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know. But at least we're consistent people.
So anyway, yeah, Sebastian kind of uncomfortably spoke for like, wow, you really going to do this? You're going to make me just fucking end this interview? And then he just kind of shut off it was a Zoom or Skype type deal. So he was gone. And then ironically, or oddly, I guess whatever you want to say, the next week, Halford was actually on the show. So the guest, to their credit, brought it up, told them about the incident, to which Halford replied, I don't gargle, I swallow. Which, you know, I'm okay with that. He's not taking it too serious and getting too wound up over it. But
you know what he's doing? He's taking a piss.
He's taking the piss out of them. That's what he's doing. Yeah,
exactly.
It got me thinking because a fairly recent revelation for me anyway is that Rob Halford is persona non grata with Eddie Trunk, a la Paul Stanley. And much in the same way that Eddie goes on, I have no idea what I did. He won't answer the call. So I have no idea what it could be even. You know, it's like one of those deals. So it got me thinking. It's like if these guys making that crude of a joke doesn't even keep Halford from coming on, much less engaging with them, what the fuck did Eddie do to piss this guy off?
That is a good question. I guarantee it's a level of creep. is what it is, maybe. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. It's some kind of like uncomfortable. Maybe it's not even an incident.
He's like,
he seems to have a pretty thick skin, right?
He gets there's too often Eddie is found or captured on security cameras outside Rob Halford's Scottsdale mansion.
Yeah, he's like, you know.
Is that fucking Eddie Trunk?
Yeah, I've checked out my Nest footage for the last 3 months. There's a day that goes by that you're not on there at some point of the day.
He's like, Jason, is that in the trunk?
Guys, you're more than the Amazon Prime delivery guy. It's like, and he doesn't bring me anything.
Maybe that's what it is. Eddie steals Rob's Amazon packages off the steps.
Yeah,
that was my new cat T-shirt.
I wonder if Eddie has that. He's actually purchased one of those Amazon Prime vans. He just goes to rock stars. That's his undercover thing. You know, I mean, I don't think if you saw Eddie Trunk walk up with an Amazon Prime outfit, you wouldn't think he's not an Amazon Prime guy. Looks like
no, yeah,
he could blend in. He's a dude. He just looks like a guy,
just a regular guy. Yeah.
Yeah, regular guy. He just can't figure out how to use his phone to take the picture of the package he dropped off as evidence that he delivered it. He's got some issues there with his boss.
Do you think how long could Eddie last before he got fired for cause as an Amazon Prime driver?
Well,
I'm
sure that they
crank UFO when you're driving through people's neighborhoods.
Well, that's what I was going to say is that the noise ordinance. And the other part would be that, you know, they probably have 8-hour shifts and they have to give the van to the next person, and he just leaves his cassette of Strangers in the Night jammed in there all the time, cranked to 10. So the next guy that gets in there is like, Brr!
Eddie, can you come in here? Do you happen to know why 15 people on your delivery route yesterday all got a copy of UFO's box, Greatest Hits Anthology?
Oh, that's right.
None of these people said they ordered it.
No, I'm just spreading the love. They got to hear this, man. It's great. It's the best.
If you haven't checked this out, man, it'll change your fucking life, man.
I would make a perfectly rated joke here, but I'm not allowed to.
So, yeah, I mean, it's odd that, like, kind of this weird, kind of crude gay joke gets me thinking about Eddie Trunk. Maybe that says something about me. Maybe there's a Freudian angle that I need to start looking at.
I don't know. I mean, I can't think of anything specifically. It's just, like, if you ever see those old pictures of him in the 80s, he's always, like, 2 feet behind any of the rock stars that he is infatuated with, looking kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I do. Like almost, I got a buddy here locally who he's worked in record stores, and he's got pictures of him like behind Ace Frehley as Ace Frehley's doing like a record signing in the 80s.
Right.
But he doesn't acknowledge it as that. He's like, yeah, this is when I was working with Ace. You know, he definitely puts a spin on it that is not terribly accurate. It's kind of like when the guy who owns the Timberwolves actually owned the print shop I worked at before where I work now. So it would be like me saying, yeah, what do you do for a job? Well, I work for the Glenn Taylor, owner of the Timberwolves. I take care of some of the shit that he doesn't have time to. Which technically true, but not really an accurate portrayal. But yeah, so maybe you're saying Eddie's like that. Maybe he's like when he says he's close personal friends, he's just been close to somebody's personal space.
I think that's what it is. I think it's the same thing as that. It's the whole putting yourself in the conversation or whatever like that. I hear something in Hollywood a lot of times. We're saying like, are you friends with somebody? And it says, I'm not friends with that person, but I'm friendly with them. Have you ever heard that term?
Yeah.
It's kind of like saying like, I know them, but we're not friends. And I think that the other version is you just say you're friends all the time when we just aren't really friends. We don't hang out.
Right.
Yeah, that might be part of it.
I have to admit, I use the term friend pretty tight. Like I feel kind of weird if I'm like, well, I'm friends with them on Facebook. You know, right. I don't really know the person that well, though. You know, I mean, so there's a lot of people like that. But yeah, you're right. Some people just say, yeah, we're friends.
I use that mostly for legal reasons.
Yeah. My gut feeling is this is very much like the Paul Stanley thing. For some reason, maybe Eddie's just a little, I don't know the situation with Judas Priest and KK Downing like I would say the backstory with Kiss. But maybe it's a little chippy with that whole deal, and Eddie's just too positive about KK. That's my gut feeling. The only thing there is that Rob doesn't really come off like a guy that's petty.
Right.
He doesn't seem to care about that kind of stuff.
In other news, Eddie Trunk has just announced a new podcast called Overstepping.
Nice. Can't wait to subscribe. A nice little surprise that came out, I don't know, at the time of recording. It was about 2 weeks ago, maybe about a week after we found out about the passing of Eddie Van Halen. David LaRoth released a new To Us song anyway.
David LaRoth.
he released some new music. Now, new in the sense of, like, we hadn't heard it before, but this is, I don't remember the timeline, but I want to say it's almost 20 years now that he recorded a record with John 5 that's never seen the light of day for whatever reason.
Oh, I thought that I was confused on that. I thought this was just off of the album he did that one. What was the one he did with John 5 though? Was it called like Sorry to get you off your thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I thought it was released on a previous. This is an unreleased track from something he did with John Five.
Yeah, my understanding is that there's a whole record of stuff that just never got put out. And so,
okay.
It's a song called Somewhere Over the Rainbow Bar and Grill. Kind of a nice little turn of phrase. Very classic, yep. David LaRoth lyrics to it. One that I liked was that some say I was happy then, me, I'm happy still. It's actually, it's in the vocal range that he can still hit. That's one of the things I like about it. And it's just, it almost seemed like it was written for Eddie, you know, in a way. Even though, that, you know, it wasn't really possible. But I don't know, did you get a chance to listen to it? I dug it. It's cute and little, I don't know, little ditty.
No, I did. I went and first off, you know, it shows up in my, you know, how I rent my music. So it showed up in my new release radar, and just the look, it looked like some, the artwork on it looked like something that my daughter would have drawn,
right,
or whatever like that. Like, and then I didn't actually see, like you see the turn of phrase, it says Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I'm like, oh God, no, he's doing a cover of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. You know what I mean? And then I saw the Bar and Grill and was like, okay, hit play. Yeah. It's like, it sounded like something that could have been, I mean, on his early solo stuff,
yeah,
it's catchy as hell.
It harkened back to Eat 'Em and Smile a little bit.
It was clever, you know what I mean? It was enjoyable, and I was like, this is the David Lee. This is what, for me, this was the kind of vocals and songwriting that was missing on Van Halen's last album. Like, if they had, this is kind of like an Ice Cream Man, kind of a, you know what I'm saying, like a different type, yeah, of song, or Take My Whiskey Home, whatever you want to say. I really liked it. Made me think it seemed like a tribute to Eddie, even though it's,
yeah,
couldn't have been.
You, well, I think he dedicated it to Eddie on a tweet or something, but it just the timing of it, obviously, just it all resonated and kind of hung in there. It felt good. It just that's the best way to put it. You know what I mean? It kind of takes you back to a little more comfort.
And usually those things don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if somebody grabs something and says, this is dedicated to this person and it's from like a situation like this, it, yeah, just doesn't work. It seems like a ploy, where this seems very genuine.
That's right up his alley. He definitely doesn't do anything that isn't, at this stage of the game, if he's doing it, he means it and he believes it. You know what I mean? So even like just the tweets he tweeted out of just pictures of him and Eddie, it just seemed a little more meaningful because it came from him.
Yep.
As opposed to Michael Anthony and Sammy kind of doing that weird video.
Oh my God. And again, as you've heard on the show, not Sammy haters at all,
right,
but the fact that video was edited, it was 90 seconds long and there was a ton of cuts that you can see that they did along the way to clean it up. I'm like, how can you not do this? This should be just like, here it is and we're done. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Yeah. You would think, in considering what we're talking about, the passing of someone that they knew well, that it could have felt a little more genuine, I guess.
I also suggest better camera angles next time.
Yeah, maybe Michael Anthony should do something with his hair too. You know,
that's something. That's all we're asking. Just if you're going to release something to the world, just prep a little bit before you take your iPhone out and angle it, 47 degrees up.
Oh man! Well, some other icons, you know, of rock that just won't go away. We'll drop some new music too. AC/DC's back, baby.
Oh yeah,
man!
Angus, baby.
I gotta tell you that when I first heard the beginning notes of that song, that guitar tone just, oh, fucking cool.
Yeah. Okay. So you enjoyed the new song?
The first song. What is it called? Shot in the Dark. Well, I like the fact that, although I'll probably be disappointed when I hear the rest of the record, but I like that it isn't just like some ridiculously old dude singing some really inappropriate sexual double entendre. You know what I mean? It's just a song and it sounds like AC/DC, you know what I mean? But there was a second song that was released. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering the title, that I like much better. So I'm a little optimistic. Supposedly these were songs that Malcolm had written. And if I understood it right, this album was actually done in 2018, so I'm not sure what it's been sitting around for.
Yeah, I thought it was done. I have not. It was my understanding that it was done, ready to roll, and then COVID hit. They were planning a whole tour this summer, and that went sideways. Maybe I have my information wrong on that. But
I'm not sure where I got that. I could be 100% off base on that. So,
Okay. I know it's definitely been in the can, as they say, in the industry for a while. But yeah, I mean, I heard it, and I can tell you, I heard it four times. I can't tell you. I couldn't hum it right now. I know there's something to do with a shot, and then there's also some walking in the park.
The shot in the dark. See, I've only heard it two times, and it's stuck. So,
okay, well, that's good for you. And yes, the guitar tone is always awesome. That's what you want to hear, and you're just like, yes, when you hear it. For me, what I realized is I went there, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go listen to Rock or Bust. I'm going to go listen to Black Ice. I'm going to go listen to Stiff Upper Lip. I started going backwards the last 2 weeks, and I went all the way back to Ballbreaker, and I realized one thing, and that is that I used to think that Ballbreaker was their worst album, and most of it had to do with how bad Brian Johnson sounded like. He was going through some vocal issues or something like that, and the whole thing was absurd. The fact that they put out an album called Ballbreaker in the middle of like the mid-90s, it just looked ridiculous at the time. Stuff like that. It was almost like Bust a Nut by Tesla. It just didn't fit. You know, anything to do with nuts and balls for your title, just no. But anyway,
Kurt Cobain ruined that for you guys. Sorry.
He really did. Just deal with it. Yeah, that's right. So, but the main thing about it was is I was like, what is missing? And it's been something for a while. Is first off, I'm like, Stiff Upper Lip should have been just called Sleeping Pill. That fucking album sucks. I went back to it. The pace is slow. But here's the main thing.
Ballbreaker be called? Ambien?
No, this is my point. This is my point. I went back and I wanted just any statements I've made about Ballbreaker. Ballbreaker, I'm going to say it right now, and you can do your explosion or whatever, is the last album that Angus gave a fuck about his solos. I promise you, you go back there, those vocals in that album, I'm not saying the songs are really any good. Hard as a Rock, Ballbreaker, they're okay. There's not a single song I would put my, say, like, that is a great song. The solos on Black Ice, Stiff Upper Lip, all these, they're like maybe 20 or 30 seconds. I can't remember any of them. You go and listen.
There's no solo album in the new song, is there?
There is. It's 20 seconds long.
Okay.
It starts, and right when it starts revving up, it ends. And this is the whole thing about him, is I don't think Angus has cared about playing a solo. There's not that passion. I listen to Ballbreaker.
He's 90 years old, man.
Doesn't matter. I'm saying that on that album, Ballbreaker, there's not just the solos and the solo place. He's soloing on top of it through all these different parts of the song, like they used to, is my point. And basically, and I really hope there's something, but there's not a single thing I can gravitate to for maybe the rock and roll, Runaway Train, I think is probably their last solid. I like that song.
Yeah.
I really hope there's something, but I went back there again. I'm like, what's missing? I'm like, the Angus is just, I mean, that's just, it's like they took Back in Black and took everything. You know what it is? They're basically copies of For Those About to Rock, because that album sucks too, except for that main song. So that's it.
They've had a handful of good songs.
Three or four.
Since
I can't get to three
Back
or four.
In Black. But the thing is, the deal they made with the devil was a one-album deal. So
it really was.
They sold their soul for rock and roll and 10 tracks. That's it. So they've done the best they could since then, is all I'm getting at. It's odd. As much as I like Angus as a guitar player, I've never listened to AC/DC for the guitar playing, other than more from the rhythm side of like just that raw tone and all that stuff. Man. So I'll have to go back and listen, because there are moments, especially early in their career, where there's some just really killer solos that I know what you take it to the next level, but there's also a lot of songs that as good as a solo might be, it's not the reason I tune in for it, but...
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like you said, like I think you've said it before, is that like a bad AC/DC song is just a bad song. It's just really boring. But they're one of my top bands for when I need some pure fucking rock. Do you know what I'm saying?
You could easily put together a 20-30 song playlist if you use their whole catalog. You know what I mean?
More than that.
You just drop the entire Back in Black record on there. It's 10. At least half of... A Highway to Hell. Fuck, I don't know. I love the Bon Scott stuff for the most part. So, I don't
know. And I'll wrap this up here. But you know, as you can see, I'm pretty fired up this morning.
You are on it today, man.
I am.
You woke up on time for this one.
I know. that's also a bonus. But like, you know, part of it is, I go back and I've been getting into the vinyl, and we won't get into that today. But like, I dropped, you know, Highway to Hell and If You Want Blood, You've Got the live album. Just listening to that, there's no way, like they've been rumored and they don't really have the thing. You listen to Shoot to Thrill or Have a Drink on Me, and all these other ones. The songs on Back in Black, absolutely the most of those were written when Bon Scott was around. Don't you think?
That vibe, I do. Like, that was the last. And there's a book, The Lost Highway, written by Jesse Fink, that kind of intimates that that is what happened, that those songs were basically done because they never came close to those kind of lyrics or melody.
No way.
After that,
no way.
With Brian, I'm saying.
So anyway, so go, please, on our Facebook group or page, tell me if I'm wrong, but I tell you, Ballbreaker is the ball breaking point where Angus was done playing solos. Tell me yes or no. And if you counter that argument, refer to a song where you would point me in my direction to tell me I'm wrong after that point.
You know, one thing about Brian Johnson that it doesn't logically make any sense. You know, I checked out with AC/DC. Everybody loves that fucking song Thunderstruck, but I was like, when I first heard that, I was like, what the fuck is he on helium? What's going on? And Brian Johnson kind of turned into that Daniel Duck kind of voice there for pretty much up until Black Ice. And then when I heard that Runaway Train, it was like, what the fuck? Where has this been? I mean, did you just need to, I don't know, talk to Paul Stanley? How did you do this? You know what I mean? You basically got your voice back from the mid-80s, and it's 2010 or whatever year that came out. And it's been, even this new song, you know, remember he supposedly was never going to be able to sing again because he could just go deaf.
Right.
So they apparently was some medical procedure that helped him with that. But he sounded great the last three albums. He sounds a killer on this new song.
Agreed. So I'll tell you that much. That's the thing too, is it's like we can't have everything at the same time. Like as far as the vocals, like Brendan O'Brien, obviously super producer, Bruce Springsteen, Pearl Jam, Stone Temple Pilots. He's been the producer the last three. And for whatever reason, he's got the best. He sounds amazing. That's what I'm saying. Like, I wish Angus and the riffs and the melodies were up there because Brian sounds phenomenal. I will tell you too, it's also funny that probably my favorite Brian Johnson vocal of the last 20 years is on that Jim Brewer album, and it's called Mr. Rock and Roll. Go check that out if you've never heard it before. He sounds phenomenal on that too, and that was recorded during that time when supposedly he couldn't hear.
Right, yeah. Well, I think he could still sing in studio. That was never going to really be the issue, is that he just couldn't tour. But yeah, he was going to he was old and said, fuck it, I'm going to pack it in. But
either way, the fact that he pulled off great vocals on a comedian's album that sounded better than stuff in the 90s and Fly on the Wall is ridiculous, is my point.
In the music section of my favorite QAnon website, they say that that it's actually Alex Jones singing in the studio, that it's like he apparently does a spot on 80s Brian Johnson. And that it's not actually Brian on the record. And yeah, also that's 5G is a way to track us and give us cancer.
Okay. Does that have anything to do with catfishing? We're going to understand.
No one believes you, Luce. We all know you.
Okay.
You've been catfished, I think, and you've mentally buried it.
All right. I want to understand someday. Send me an article.
Hey, in something somewhat topical but music related, the Five Finger Death Punch just dropped a new video, and the only reason I even watched it was because of the headline. Apparently, and then and I went and watched it, so it's not apparent. they flat out compare people who wear masks to communists. And so it's like this whole fucked up thing. And it got me thinking, I'm like, every band is selling masks. I shared this on Facebook, so it's not going to surprise anybody. I'm like, I guarantee there's a fucking Five Finger Death Punch mask on their goddamn web store. You know what I mean? It's not only for sale. It is the fucking featured item on there. It's like, oh, my God. You know, because there are people who think wearing a mask is somehow like way to strip freedom from everybody. And it's about tyranny and all this crap. Nothing to do with health. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just the flu. And of course, you know, that singer, Ivan Moody, he's a bit of a meathead.
I'm gonna go home, rewatch the UFC fights, and eat a steak.
Of course, he's one of those guys. Not surprisingly, but Jesus fucking Christ. You can't even make this shit up. That is the most 2020 thing in music this year, is that like this ridiculous like hypocrisy. It's like, I'm not one of the sheep out there. Also, for you sheep, you can give me money and I'll send you one of these.
I just think it's awesome, the fact that somebody, I just want to see somebody. First off, it's ridiculous.
Yes,
everybody has the masks. You can go to every place. It's like print on demand, Redbubble. Yeah. We have one. You want to go to our site and get a mask? Nobody has bought a goddamn mask because you would be arrested if you had a Cobras and Fire logo on your face walking around with a mask. That's next level.
Yeah, we don't move much merch. What the hell?
I haven't really pushed it ever since the box of fire. I've lost my mojo on it. That's still sitting in my.
It's still for sale, by the way. I saw it on the website.
If you want to buy the Cobra box of fire, all of a sudden, I tell you, it's going to open up everything. Listen, that's what you can do for 2020. Get the box of fire. It'll cure all ills.
Yeah, no doubt. It'll break the spell. That'll end COVID.
It really will. That's what it took. Fauci will be like, all he needed to do is buy this box of fire.
You see Fauci doing like a Good Morning America interview, and he holds up the box. I really think one of the best things we could do to help prevent COVID is to buy the box of fire.
You know, it'd be funny. Even if they knew it would cure COVID, they'd be like, I don't need that shit. I don't need it. It's still sitting there. Even COVID couldn't sell that goddamn thing.
That'll be the show art, Fauci holding the box of fire.
Just what is inside of here will cure COVID. It's half off, $50, people.
Yeah.
Includes free shipping.
Since we're talking about it, let's try to move it. What's all in the box of fire? Can you even remember at this point?
It's been a year since I made my video when I was all high on myself coming back from the Rock and Pod Expo is what it was. I was like, I can sell anything.
That's a different kind of pod crash.
It really is. Yeah. Let me think. We've got, so in the box of fire, which is a repurposed Aerosmith box of fire and everything, in there is, you've got three t-shirts. You've got our Rockin' Pod 3 Expo t-shirt. You've got our original Cobras and Fire one. You've got the one that actually has our logo on it, kind of like black and white. You've got a...
Not Gildan's either.
No, well, these are all next level, high quality t-shirts, never worn by me or my children. We've got, what else is there? Oh, we've got some socks, certain kind of socks in there, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
We've got face fans. We've got face fans. We have, just list off some of the ridiculous merch we've
well,
we made.
Well, I assume stickers are in there. Weren't we going to toss a thumb drive with every episode in it?
I don't think we're going to do that anymore because it's too much effort.
Yeah.
But wait, if somebody bought it, we were going to download them all. And that
oh,
was
God. Well, it's too bad we didn't record that phone conversation and how we were going to make that happen between the two of us. We could have sold that as a Patreon bonus, huh?
It really would, like sending it back and forth and all this stuff like that. But yeah, we have a thumb drive that actually has the Cobras and Fire logo on it. And listen, this is for all you people that think the world is going to end or whatever at this point with the election. If the grid goes down, you will still have Cobras and Fire on that thumb drive.
Damn right.
Local storage. You're not renting this podcast. You own it.
No cloud.
Nope. No cloud involved. Anyway, we'll send it. Go to cobrasandfire.com to the merch section, and you'll see the fine video that I produced over a year ago and is now making me a little sad.
No one cares, Luz.
Let's cheer up Luz Cannon. Let's buy that fucking box, people.
I think there actually is a feature where you could actually just name your own price on it right now. I'm not kidding you. Just go there, and it's like eBay, except I think we accept all offers. Just try it out.
Free shipping, or is that extra?
No, it includes everything. Includes shipping.
Okay,
everything includes shipping. So yeah, get yourself a T-shirt. I got
three T-shirts, man.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. So, but you'll be a well-dressed man or woman, and I say that singular, probably just listening to the show. But yes, that's it. That's it. The end of the commercial break.
There's no sense in being clever. There's no sense in sense at all. Nothing gained in this endeavor. My head in the nearest wall. Wearing like a new dress. The lawyer down is so impressed. Fucking like a stage mom. Fucking like a stage mom.
Not to break this down too much, but for some reason, Alter Bridge is still making music. Did you know that? They just released a new album.
My dog actually alerted me to that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's just like, what is it? Who's the audience for them? They're that 4 o'clock in the afternoon festival act, man.
I don't get it. It's like, here's Creed. First off, who decided they wanted Creed to continue with another singer? Like, what was... You know what I mean? Like that is what that band is, yes?
I'll take Creed over that shit show. And I fucking hate Creed.
Neither one. Both of them are, yeah. It just, at least with Creed.
With arms wide open. Hey, at least I can probably hum a few lines of at least two or three Creed songs without thinking. I literally don't remember a single Alter Bridge song, and I've heard a ton of them. I've seen them live probably 18 times. I've seen Alter Bridge live by accident more than I've intentionally seen any band.
I think I've seen them, yes, three times. Three times. They are like them and one of my friend of the show, Rob, has designated certain bands as like seether time. Seether time is when you go to the bathroom or whatever like that, or get in line for some concessions. Well, that is a seether time band.
I was going to say, actually, you know, if you really got to go, you want to go before Alter Bridge because you know the bathroom line is going to get real long once they hit the stage.
I know.
Or the merch booth is going to be packed, you know, for all the other bands selling stuff.
Well, Alter Bridge is one of those bands that keeps getting on these festivals just because they have the connections from back in the day with Creed. Like, there's some promoter they have a deal with. It's like, fine, we'll give you the 4 o'clock spot. Just leave me alone, dude.
I just don't. Somebody explain it to me. Even their name is forgettable. Like, if I didn't put it on this list, I probably wouldn't be able to remember it.
And what does that even mean? Does that mean a bridge that's not completely a bridge? Is that like the futon? They're the futon of bridges. It's an in-between. It's an altered bridge.
They are the futon of rock music.
They really are. They don't commit either way.
Who's the Murphy bed then?
I'm trying to think. I would say the Murphy bed is somebody that's completely changed their entire sound and still is successful.
AC/DC.
Like both. No, they're not. They're not the Murphy bed.
AC/DC is the undersized queen. Bed of rock music.
Not the band.
Yeah, not the band queen. Yeah, it was the queen size mattress. Yeah, you know, some of them just don't quite fit the frame right. That's AC/DC.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, we'll think of some more comparisons. What else you got?
Well, it surprises me anyway that, especially with the health issues he's dealing with, it surprises me, but yet it also seems predictable. But Ozzy has just announced rescheduled dates for his tour in 2022, so not even 20, and this is probably largely to do with not refunding money right now. And you know how I feel.
All about refunding money. Yes. I mean, think right now. Like, think about whatever funds they have from people right now. You put that into certain investments. I mean, this is a great situation if you have these people's money for 2 years. You can fuck around and play with making more money off their money.
Yeah, just collect interest on it. You know what I mean? And who knows? Maybe that money is already spent, and they're just kind of kicking the can down the highway, hoping that they never have to fucking, you know, come due on their debt here. But
exactly.
Do you think Sharon would actually do something a la Meatloaf? I don't know if you recall a year or two ago where Meatloaf basically went on tour and didn't sing. Now, he was there. I think he talked to the audience, then he sat off to the side of the stage while someone else performed for him. Maybe they'll figure something out like that. They get a Ozzy impersonator to go up and perform every night.
This is already in process. I mean, you see the Zakk Wylde is re-recording entire Black Sabbath albums. You purchased it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Zakk Wylde. They're going to re-release the whole catalog up to 2022, and then Zakk Wylde is going to take over for Ozzy as a replacement featuring.
You think he'll sing too then?
Yeah, that's what I think's going to happen. And then he has the legitimacy saying, here's the whole catalog. I've already done the debut album.
And stuff like that. And a hole in the sky.
How was that album?
It's fucking phenomenal.
Really? Okay, check it out.
That album, to me, is pretty special. It's a record, and it's not even a very well-sequenced, or it's just something magical about the music on that thing. And I love listening to, every time I listen to the debut record by Black Sabbath, I listen to the whole thing. And so hearing kind of an updated sound with Zakk doing it, you know, it's going to be pretty spot on and done right. I will say this, I would never stream it. I would never buy a CD of this. This is a vinyl only experience for me. I'm talking about the Zakk Wylde Vertigo is what he called it. But it's basically the first Black Sabbath album recorded. Just reproduced it exactly as it was. To me, it's kind of that. You open it up, you feel it, you smell it, you put it on the turntable. It's an experience in itself. To me, I just, this would do nothing for me. Like, I wouldn't own it if I couldn't have it on vinyl. I wouldn't even go out and listen to it. But it's the whole packaging and everything is just, I was so happy when I saw that in the record store, because my understanding is initially this was just going to be a run of 500 that sold out before it was even recorded. So the fact that he just made more copies available was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard the whole thing, but I did hear the version of the Wizard, and it's like the Wizard was just balls. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, there's something about it. Like, there's a lot of energy in that track, and I've always liked that track anyway.
Yeah,
that I could definitely tell a difference. I'll check it out in full. But anyway, so that's what they're doing. That's what Sharon's doing. That's the whole business plan.
So look for the Ghost of Ozzy Osbourne in 2022. Yes. Although that sounds like I'm wishing death upon the man, but I'm not. Hey, speaking of ghosts and Ozzy, have you seen his new TV show, The Osbournes Want to Believe?
No.
It's because... Ozzy, Sharon, and Jack, and they sit in, I assume, their basement, and they watch, basically security camera footage of, like, paranormal things, and then they comment on whether they believe it or not.
Wow.
And truth be told, Ozzy actually is pretty good at it. I was surprised.
Pretty good at what?
I don't know. Like, he's reasonable. He can put together a thought and explain it. And I don't know. I mean, he still talks like Ozzy, so it's kind of mumbly-jumbly. But the fact that, you know, it's like, you know, that's actually a fairly measured response to this thing. You know, he's not like one of those guys that discounts it all or believes it all. He's like, no, that's bullshit.
Wouldn't it be terrible if the only, like, eyewitness you had for yourself, like, to save yourself from going to prison was Ozzy, and you had to put him on the stand to explain what he saw?
I just bring someone along with subtitles for the jury.
Like Ozzy, can you please explain what you saw on the night of September 5th, 19...
I'm fucking doomed.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Time has passed for choices. Golden days are passing over, yeah. I can't seem to see you, baby, although my eyes are open wide. But I know I'll see you once more. When I see you, I see you on the other side. Yes, I see you.
Well, yeah, you mentioned Sebastian Bach is one of our mascots, of course. Another one, Tommy yes. Lee, made some news recently. Actually, Ted Nugent kind of drugged Tommy into this one. One of our favorite human beings on the planet, Ted Nugent. All around good guy and likes to love the Lord and the ladies equally. Ted Nugent was on something called the Blunt Force Podcast, or the Blunt Force Truth Podcast, I want to say it right. And they were asking about a taping he did for Sammy Hagar's Rock and Roll Road Trip show on Access TV. And Nugent says, like, the producers wouldn't let Sammy near him other than when they were filming. And this is Nugent's word. He said, "They thought I was dangerous, that I'd come out with a machine gun or I'd slaughter an innocent fawn on television. So I said to the producers, I said to Sammy, your producers were afraid of me, but they did a show with Tommy Lee, who's a convicted felon, domestic violence, heroin addict. They're okay with this guy, but not the Nuge. Camp for Kids charity, teaching kids to be clean and sober." So, which, of course, you know, that's going to find its way to... If you and I saw it, we know Tommy Lee is eventually going to have someone read it to him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's true. He is going to have somebody read it to him. But the... But let's just... Does that how Ted Nugent sounds? Because I've never heard the man speak before.
That's not a very good impersonation. He's kind of a fast staccato delivery, but...
I'll use that as my basis.
Not sure how to put this, but he sounds like a guy who would roughly pull his wife out of a party. Now, he's an annoying figure for me just overall.
Isn't it a terrible thing?
Politics aside, Ted Nugent drives me fucking nuts. That's his fans, too. Like, growing up, the guys that liked Ted Nugent, I think I've said on the show before, were always the ones that got too drunk and wanted to fight.
No, but also, isn't it a terrible thing that he was blessed with the ability to play guitar connected to that brain? And really, what if I could just talk about Ted Nugent a little bit first?
Ted Nugent's like Angus Young, neutered on guitar, as far as I'm concerned. A lot of people really like him, like our boy Mankini. He's a big fan, but I'd rather
the t-shirt to prove it.
Untuck my shirt and listen to some AC/DC than look. And it's not the guy can't play. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you know, he's almost like sounds like the like one of those like kids bop records. Like Ted Nugent is that to guitar.
Yeah, but I remember hearing all about him, you know, when you're first getting into rock, and I got Double Live Gonzo or whatever, and I listened to it. I'm like, okay, here's Stranglehold, here's this, here's that, and I'm like, this is it? Free for all? What the doctor ordered? These fucking songs suck.
Wango Tango?
Wango. That's, give me a break.
Yeah, the fact that his greatest hits has only two songs that are any good. It's like Cat Scratch Fever and Stranglehold, and then a bunch of fucking filler.
I mean, this here's a great song here, people. I mean, did he ever?
I still haven't forgiven Kiss
or?
For dragging him on that entire farewell tour.
What was that about, man? Good Lord, getting out there shooting flaming arrows. Ah! I mean, what was this? What's this on stage? Does he have like patter? Does he like a front man?
He talks a little bit. When he was touring with Kiss, it was in fairness, a fairly entertaining show and not too preachy or stuff like that. He had a couple political comments, but he's gone off the deep end. You know what I mean? He's threatened to, you know, kill Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama on stage. That kind of jackassery
But the thing about that's funny about that is that how is that any intro like let's take down the government? No, here's Wango Tango.
Meanwhile,
that doesn't even lead into anything.
People are tearing into Sebastian Bach for having an issue with Trump, but for decades I really didn't hear anybody fucking go, you know, Ted, you're alienating half your audience by sharing this. You know, that guy. So they just, I don't know, whatever. We're too busy crying, I guess.
Yeah, I guess also just to imagine the life of the Nuge from everything I've read. Can I just give you my impression of what his mornings are like?
Sure.
Real quick. Okay. So I can just see the Nuge just kind of getting up every morning and reading his issue of Flat Earth Weekly, you know, breaking into that, you know, going to his backyard.
It's actually called Flat Earth and Flags.
Oh, Flat Earth and Flags. He reads that. It's the same. All it is pictures, just a flat earth and some flags. But he likes it. He likes them.
Yeah.
But then he goes in his backyard and makes sure that everything within his 10 square miles is dead. He just kills everything. Dynamite, whatever. I mean, God God help you if you actually are on his property during this time. And then,
Have you ever seen that episode of South Park where one of the kids' uncle and his buddy, that the guy who talks like that, go fishing?
Yeah.
And okay. They just drop a grenade into the water, and the fish float to the top.
And that's their fishing,
that's
right?
That's Ted Nugent, yeah.
That's Ted Nugent like, fishing.
They would, like, use a rocket launcher to deer hunt, and they would just say, he's coming right for us!
Boys, looky there. That there's a Rocky Mountain black bear. One of the few remaining of its kind. Isn't it beautiful?
My God, it's coming right for us!
Hey, it wasn't coming right for us. It was just sitting there.
Shh, not so loud. Now that there's just a technicality.
What do you mean?
You see, boys, the Democrats have passed a lot of laws trying to stop us from hunting. They say we can't shoot certain animals anymore unless they're posing an immediate threat. Before we shoot something, we have to say, it's coming right for us.
Jimbo, look.
Oh, it's a deer. It's coming right for us!
They yell that out first and they can, like, be brutal. That's Ted Nugent. Right. He's always,
that's Ted Nugent.
He just walks through them all.
It's coming right for us!
Boom, boom, boom.
Uh-huh. Well, that's how you get the. It's legal that way.
Stand my ground.
Yeah, stand your ground. You then around town. I'm not sure if you know in that part of Michigan. You know the term as the rooster crows. Yeah, they have one called "As the Nude Screams," where for 15 solid minutes every morning he just does racist and conspiracy shit, and that's how you know it's 6:30 a.m. That's how you wake up in that area.
Yeah, people.
That's
how I just. You want to say I'm racist, but I know three black people that'll wave to me when I walk by them. You gonna tell me you're racist? By the way, true story. I think he moved to Texas. I swear to God, I believe he's George Bush's neighbor.
It's coming right for
you. Oh, he's not even in.
He's probably like Kid Rock, where he still probably has some property in the wooded area of Michigan, probably in the UP.
you know how they have all those things on Blabbermouth where they'll say like some rock star is selling their home or whatever.
Yeah.
Here and there, something for $3 million. They just have a picture of his Zillow, and it's just like nothing but dead carcasses everywhere on this property from like the drone view.
It's just a bunch of camouflage buildings. It's all just like, you know, hunter's perches.
And like just pits of where he just let off grenades and everything like that. But
Ted Nugent fans have stopped listening to our show permanently now. They've
good.
Unsubscribed.
Darwinism, people. But the. But also, you know, I'm not sure, but every morning too, he's a guy that, you know, he doesn't have much time. So his breakfasts are very, very accelerated. And he likes to have, what do you think he has for breakfast every day?
Oh, it's got to be some kind of deer meat.
Come on. You know what it is. It's Tang. It's what the astronauts drink. But I'm not sure if you've had it.
Sweet poon, sweet orange Tang.
No. Every morning, he has a new
orange Tang.
He has a new flavor. No, yes, there's several flavors of Tang. He prefers the poon, but also he likes the sweet poon Tang. It's much better than the sour poon Tang. So that's all the morning rituals I have. But this is the things I imagined when you told me we were doing this routine.
Right on. When you told me, you were like, we're doing this.
I did. I remember. It's been a while.
It has. We've been this. Hopefully, this ends up with some really good gold because we've been working on this one a while, people. So yeah, Ted makes these comments. The headline goes out, and then one morning, his wife or his son comes over and reads it to him. Tommy took to Twitter, or you know, he handed his wife the phone and said, "Type this." Well, we're not nice to anybody right now.
Bananas.
He tweeted out, and I love the fact that everything is handled through Twitter now. Ted Nugent, mm-hmm. Is that guy even still alive? I thought he shot himself like 20 years ago.
Boom!
And they throw in here, he added a few middle finger and crying while laughing emojis for good measure. I love it when we're at the point now where a news story actually describes the emojis somebody used in a tweet. Jesus fucking Christ.
Can you imagine that you're somebody that used to work on the Walter Cronkite show?
Yeah, you're typing like that, this shit.
And you're typing this up to still make a living. You're like, oh, good Lord.
I know why Dan Rather retired. He's, Jesus.
That's right. It was the emojis. The emojis took him down.
Like, I was almost ready to bail when we started reporting tweets. I mean, they're called fucking tweets, for Christ's sake. How can I do this seriously?
How can you take it seriously? Yeah. But yeah, good. The old boom, just jabbed it right back there with the Tommy Lee style, that wit that we're looking for.
Yeah.
We always look. But yeah, so how do you think they should settle this?
I think they should settle it like men settle it, with a yo mama smack off.
Ooh, like it.
So today I'll be playing the role of Tommy Lee, if I understand it right. And you, of course, will be possessed with the embodiment of the Nuge. Are you going to strip down to a loincloth for this? if let me know, because I'm going to hit record if that's happening.
That's right.
Yeah, or you should at least have like a bow and arrow strapped to your back. Or maybe we should do this remotely. Like I'll do it like sitting by a pool with a plate of Coke next to me, and you can be in a deer stand.
No, I'll be like that Burt Reynolds picture with him on the bearskin rug. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Okay.
Nuge
approved. But yeah, again, I've really never heard him speak, so I'm gonna try to do my best, Ted Nugent.
Sounds good. By Tommy Lee, I've been working on it. It's horrible. So it's perfect.
Okay,
for the
good.
Show.
All right. Who's starting? So what happens? Are they just them twittering back and forth?
Well, no. I think basically Nick Cannon comes out and sets the stage, and you know, it's kind of like a celebrity death match thing. So to paint the picture for the listener, we're going to have imagine Tommy and Ted basically standing about, well, at least 6 feet apart. 20 people. And then they're just basically each given a turn to go back and forth. And at the end, why don't you and I give our own rating on who won? And the listeners can chime in the comments. Let us know who you think won the Yo Mama smack off between the Nuge and Lee.
Okay.
All right. So I don't know. Who goes first? Maybe Nuge, because he fired the first shot?
Yeah, I guess so. Let me see if I can just warm it up here.
Okay.
I probably have to do one.
Okay, bro.
Hey, Tommy, this here's a Nuge. Your mama's so dumb, she says it takes two to tango. She forgot about Wango. That's at least three.
Oh, yeah, Ted. You know what, bro? Your mama's so fat, I had to give her three backstage passes.
Tommy, your mama's so fat, her blood type is Crisco!
Your mom is so dumb, she listens to Ted Nugent.
Tommy, your mom is so dumb, she listens to Ted Nugent!
You know what, bro? Your mom's so hairy, you probably have a license to hunt her.
Your mom is so dumb, she got fired for throwing away the W's at the M&M factory.
Your mom is so fat, Vince can hide behind her.
So dumb, she graduated high school the same year you dropped out.
Your mom's a whore.
Okay, you got me.
Personally, I think the Nuge won that one. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. If you're talking about a battle of wits.
there is not a whole lot between them, but...
Nope. Slam dunk.
Let's just call it a draw and move on, but...
That's fine.
Hey, Luz, I would like to mention something a little more serious here as we check out. As hard as it's going to be to do after that ridiculous shit show, I got some news just yesterday that... A pretty close friend of mine from high school passed away.
His name is Mike Connor, and he was one of those guys, Luce, that, like, you know, everybody liked. You know, I mean, from junior high to high school, I don't know anybody that really ever had a negative thing to say about this guy or just didn't like him or all that good stuff. There's this group of buddies that, you know what I mean? It almost seems like a movie now that when I think about it, because like it's just like this group of us childhood friends that kind of like spent way too much time together and we're just always laughing and having a good time. And Mike was he was smart. He was funny. He was artistic. He came up and shot some pictures of the band here in my basement studio. He also sang backup vocals on one of the Chrysler songs. He was the inspiration for the cover that I recorded of the Motorhead song, Born to Raise Hell, where I just basically invited everybody I knew to come into my studio and be part of it, a la We Are the World, which is kind of how he put it. He said, you should do something like We Are the World, where you have all these different people come in and just do this giant kind of chorus thing, and it sparked right away in my head. It took about a year to put together, and I'm very happy with it, but literally, he was the guy that, like, said, do this. And I'm like, you're Mike Connor. Of course I'm going to do this. I can't tell you how sad it is to hear about this. It hit me out of the blue. It was not, unlike Duffy, this was not expected, and anyway, I don't want to get too carried away. I just want to say he was very influential in my life. He meant so much to me. I miss my friend. That's pretty much it. So this episode's for you, Mike. Thank you for being a friend.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but hopefully doing this episode and doing this silly stuff for an hour or so took your mind off of it for a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely enhanced my spirits a little bit. So the grieving process is what it is. So. But let's get out of here, man.
Please.
All right. Rock is not dead.
But your mama jokes are.
Shadows are falling and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave here, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Keep me in your heart for a while. When you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, keep me in your heart for a while. There's a train leaving nightly, cold when all is said and done. Keep me in your heart for a while. Yeah, sha la 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 la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha la 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 la. For a while. Sometimes when you're doing simple things around the house, maybe you'll think of me and smile. You know I'm tied to you like the buttons on your blouse. Keep me in your heart for a while. Hold me in your thoughts, take me to your dreams. Trust me when I fall into view. And when the winter comes, keep the fires lit. And I'll be there right next to you. Engine drivers heading north to Pleasant Stream. Keep me in your heart for a while. You know these wheels, they keep turning, but they're running out of steam. Keep me in your heart for a while. Yeah, sha la 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 la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha la 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 la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Keep me in your heart for a while. Keep me in your heart for a while.
Your mama's so dumb!
What's happening?
Talk to my kids or be like, what's going on in there?
Listen, press 1, send. Press 2, check with. First saved message.
Hey, Tommy, this is the news. Just going to let you know you are a no-good woman beater. I gotta go kill some animals. later.
End of message. Delete. Press 7. Save. Press 9. More options.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.